Welcome to Flow with Armon Asadi. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today I have in the house, literally this time, I know I've been dying to say that. Yes, literally this is an in-person episode with my dear, amazing friend, Bridget Levine. Now, I've been very excited to have this conversation. As you know, I love doing the in-person interviews whenever they're possible. Bridget and I went down quite the rabbit hole today, and this is a valuable episode for anybody. We explored topics and opened up with some very deep things such as mental health and how Bridget has navigated this year in general, and how she's for the first time really begun to step into so courageously, by the way, as you will see, the full aspects of her being and of herself with a capital S. And it was a riveting, amazing part of this discussion. But Bridget is an incredible entrepreneur. And as a female entrepreneur, something that I think is very important is highlighting these stories and helping other women understand what it takes to do this, because I am a huge advocate of creating a space of equal opportunity, especially in the world of entrepreneurship, where I think so many women are beginning to thrive. And Bridget is an incredible example of what it takes to be successful in this space. A couple key points. Bridget is a Forbes 30 Under 30 finalist. She's the founder and owner of Frenchie Bulldog, which you can go directly to Frenchie.com. She literally created the harness in the world for Frenchies, French Bulldogs, that is seen around the world, that even people like Lady Gaga promote and have on their page. And no, she did not get paid to do that. Lady Gaga is literally promoting Bridget and the Frenchie brand on her own. The Frenchie Bulldog page by itself, by the way, has 326,000 followers on Instagram. Her dog, Leo, literally has his own page with 105,000 followers. And Bridget has her own Bridget and Leo page with 18,500 followers. So she knows the social media game inside and out. And we also spend some time talking about not just e-commerce and business and how to build that business, but the social media game and what she would do if she was starting over. So there's so much good juicy stuff in this episode, and honestly one of the deepest episodes I've done yet. And I really truly thank you, Bridget, for your friendship and your amazing vulnerability. I should probably mention Bridget is the wife of Justin Levine, who I had on in episode number 18, which is another incredible episode that must be checked out. I think you will really enjoy listening to these episodes in tandem. Now, with that said, if you want some free training, I highly recommend you check out my masterclass that I did with Founder Magazine on copywriting, which is an essential skill, essential marketing skill, and a component of any new product or service you want to create. To get access to that, just text me hashtag masterclass at 619-825-2595. Just send a message with hashtag masterclass in it and you'll get the link to that. And make sure you are subscribed to the show, Flow with Armon Asadi, on Apple, iTunes, podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you are listening. With that said, without further ado, the one and only Bridget Levine. Enjoy this conversation. Bridget, you're in the house.
The house.
Take two. Jesus, first time I ever thought I was recording and I wasn't. So you got to be here for that.
Yes.
Thank you for coming over. It means a lot. I love doing these interviews in person. This all feels weird to say all over again. I really do, though, because it gives me the opportunity to just truly be able to experience what it's like to have the conversation in the flesh, see your eyes, see your reactions. And just like Justin, we're back in my living room, and I'm really grateful. And, you know, as your friend, I've been watching and admiring your journey for so long. And as a successful female entrepreneur who's also an incredible expert at building community and engaging them in an authentic way, having to navigate that world of social media, Instagram, how to present ourselves properly, how much to share, what's real, what's not. And I'm one of those people that believes that, you know, there's a lot of people that shit on social media. They're like, technology is bad for you. social media is bad for you. I think that we need to learn how to adapt with the times and realize that this is part of our culture and that it's literally an extension of ourselves. Like, you take someone's phone away from them and they're fucked. They don't feel whole. Yeah, they really are. Yeah. And I mean, I've gone without my phone even now. I'm like, oh my God, it's really, I feel like a cyborg. Like, it's literally a part of me right now. And so it comes down to, especially as a what we'll call a public figure who has a, say, page that, you know, puts it out there and shares her story and shares the ups and downs and shares her life. And there's beautiful things about that. There's inspiring things to be seen and had on that Instagram world. And so what I wonder often about is, how does it all stack up? What is it like to actually navigate that life of not just being the entrepreneur, not just building the incredible brand, but what to share, how to share it, and how to authentically build that community in a way that it feels real to you and it feels real to them?
Yeah, I think it's like, so I have three pages, but my business one is Frenchie_Bulldog. And that one is like all business. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just our products, stuff on our website, our community, like things we're involved in, just our brand. So that's kind of like an all business one. And then my personal one, which is Bridget and Leo, is more like, I kind of like want to share more personal things, but then like, there's also this pressure that like you can't share anything that's not like happy or appealing to other people. So like up until like this last like 6 months, actually, like I would never share anything that was like negative.
Where do you think that pressure comes from? What is that pressure, I should say?
It's like a perfectionism thing. And like, and also like this pressure of, you know, I think a lot of people were raised a certain way. I was, where like, you have to always smile at people. You have to always be like positive. And like, so this like constantly like being taught you have to only be happy, basically. And like sadness and like any other emotion is like not accepted or liked.
It's not valued. Yeah. Yeah. We expect the smile and happiness, particularly, I think, in California.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, we're the epicenter of, you know, just be happy. Mm-hmm. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Because even East Coast is even a little bit different. If you look at Europe, they're much more okay with that coldness or not smiling or kind of keeping to themselves and things like that.
So true, yeah. I wish we had a little bit more of that here.
I do too. There's a little bit of, I was listening to Esther Perel talk lately as well, and she had this great thing on relationships where she was talking about American oversharing. Everything is overly transparent, always, you know, wanting to put it all out there with your partner and so on and so forth. But another thing she had mentioned was this like need and desire to hold up an image.
Yeah.
And so I think social media definitely, you know, it sort of creates that. Right? It's like the pressure is there inherently. And then we take it on. And so we feel pressured to put out a certain, especially on a page that's kind of a business page. It's kind of a personal page. So what started shifting recently where you were like thinking about this, where you're like, should I do it this way or not?
Yeah. Well, I never wanted like my personal page to affect my business. Like if I ever thought about sharing anything that was like actually like personal on my mind, something that was like either a pain or whatever, or a struggle, like I never wanted it to affect sales or like the way people saw like my brand, because that's like my baby. I just like protect that with like everything. But then it's like I'm also like kind of hiding a lot of like who I really am with this like image of what I think people want.
It's interesting because I hear this all the time, and I think you are definitely not the only one. A lot of people go through that exact thing. What's really funny is when you see somebody who's created a page about a specific topic and they feel the need to uphold that image specifically, like I'm a fitness person, I'm an Instagram model, I'm a entrepreneur, successful car collector. Mm-hmm. And then they have a day where they're like, this could be valuable to share, or this is not even valuable, but it's just real. Isn't the point of this page for me, like for me to just be me? And so we start to see that friction between what do the people want versus what I want. Mm-hmm. In my experience, what I have found and the game that I've been trying to play from the very beginning is one of, how do I put this? Like integrity with the self, in the sense of fuck it if people don't like it, because that would have been short-lived anyway. Like, yes, I could get to 100,000 followers, a million followers, whatever followers, mm-hmm. by really, really reverse engineering what is going to work on Instagram for that entrepreneur page that people want to follow. All I'm going to do is, you know, repost these things that are like really engaging and viral, and like occasionally barely show myself and never share my personal life. But I think that that isn't sustainable. Like it's short-lived. Like totally. After a few years, either you give up because it's not real, or it falls apart. Mm-hmm. And so it seems to me that the only path toward putting yourself out there, if you decide to do so, is to do it authentically. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you've been thinking about the same thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So like I recently posted, like I feel like this past, like after COVID hit and, you know, quarantine and everything, that's when like stuff started to get like a little bit like heavier feeling for me. And so I have posted like a few things, and then like this last, like I think it was like Mental Health Day, National Mental Health Day or something. That was like the first real post where I posted like that I went through this like really dark phase, and like, you know, basically the image that we were talking about, like that's not real. It's not like every day. I'm not like constantly smiling. I am a positive person, but like I still have like feelings.
Mm-hmm. How did it go? How did it feel?
People loved it. And it feel, yeah, they loved it, and it felt really good. I actually got a lot of like direct messages, because I said in the post, like, you're not alone. Like if you need something to talk to, like even though we don't know each other, you know me through here. Like I'm still like here to be a friend, or like be there for anyone that needs it. And I got a lot of direct messages saying that it like made their day, and like a lot of people like telling me personal things. So it was cool to like be there for people that like I have never met or ever like really talked to. So it was cool to be there for people that like needed it.
So like the people that may have reached out before and engaged with you was for a different reason.
Right.
This time it's like people came out of the shadows.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, you know, when someone is honest and authentic, it sort of serves as a light of, hey, I'm okay. Like, you must think about this a lot, this idea of, you know, living the dream and then sharing the dream. Mm-hmm. And would you say that you're living your dream in any way?
Yeah.
Okay. And when would you say that happened? How long?
Probably when I started the business, because that was like my first step in like doing something for myself.
So we'll go back to that, because I can't wait to uncover that. But, and I would as well. I would say that the day that I started directing my own destiny, mm-hmm. and left my job, I was living my dream.
Yep.
I could have been broke. It could have been whatever, but totally. It was still my dream. I think the purpose is that the reason is that it's self-directed. Like you're the artist with the paintbrush, you're the director, the actor, the producer of the story. Yeah. But the challenge with the dream is that it's not all paradise, right?
Exactly.
It's not all rosy all the time. Like living your dream doesn't mean that you have a perfect life.
Right.
But everyone believes that.
Yep.
When they choose to jump into living their dream, or when most people live like, well, when it shows up, mm-hmm. not even I'm going to go get it.
Right.
But for those that go get it, they assume that that's what will create happiness. But that's not true, is it?
No.
So what's it really like?
Like, I mean, I do get a lot of fulfillment and happiness from like accomplishments and like milestones and like reaching goals, that is true. But the in-between parts, like especially when I'm not feeling motivated, like that's also like really hard and like kind of something like I hate sharing is like sometimes I don't feel motivated to literally do anything or like create anything, or I'm fine if the business just like coasts. And like I even hate saying that out loud because it's so like no to me. But that's like, that is reality. Like some days I just don't like can't do anything, or like I feel like it's hopeless, or yeah.
It's a wave of various natural emotions. Mm-hmm. And actually processing them instead of avoiding them. That was the hard part for me in particular. A lot of people, it's like that feeling comes up and it's like, but I'm not allowed to feel that way.
Right, exactly.
And so the pressure to really acknowledge that comes from this place. It seems like from, would you say, you know, hey, I live the dream that so many people would give anything to live, to have their own business, to have Lady Gaga posting about it, yeah. which we'll get back to. And I don't have the right to be sad today.
Exactly.
But it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really is, because we're human. And I think that the problem is not the judgment from the person who believes you shouldn't be sad. The problem is, no. You, Mr. and Miss Judger, have it wrong. Let me explain it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't go that way. Life doesn't just completely transform where you're just happy because of a certain lifestyle. Like, it does solve certain problems, right? Like having money, having success, having a business of your own. Like, it does make life easier in certain ways.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Totally.
But it doesn't solve everything. Mm-mm. That comes back to us. And that's heavy. Mm-hmm. That's like our work in life.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's mental health.
Mental health. Yeah.
How have you navigated that aspect that... And I think I wanted to actually, like... break that down a little bit for people too, because it's like we don't have a right to cast that judgment on others in two ways. One, believing and looking at that person as inspiration, that if all I did was become them, then I'll be okay. You're fucking yourself.
Totally.
That's one aspect of it. And the second aspect of it, which is the other side of the coin, is like, well, you also don't have a right to tell that person how to feel.
Exactly. Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
So as you have now embarked on sharing a little bit and working on this pursuit of knowing yourself more, what have you experienced? Obviously, it's not been all rosy, but has it been helpful? Has it been worthwhile? Are you just in the weeds of it right now and you can't even tell? Which is also, I've been there too, where I'm like, I don't even know. I can't even explain it right now. I'm just... in the dark night of the soul.
Yeah. You know? Well, I feel like I like made it out of like a really dark place, and it was like kind of weird how I got there, because I got to the really dark place by like becoming aware of like actually how I was feeling. I think like I'm so good at like pushing like any feeling besides happiness, like away, like pushing away, like sadness, pushing away anxiety, to the point where like I believe, and like I had like almost like brainwashed myself into thinking that like I wasn't sad or anxious, which blows my mind.
No, it doesn't blow my mind. I talked about this on a different episode. We're very alike, by the way, Bridget.
Really?
We're very alike. The only difference is that your primary function and mine, you're slightly more introverted and I'm more extroverted. Mm-hmm. But the way we operate and see the world is actually extremely similar.
Yeah.
I did the same thing.
Oh my God. And then like, it was actually like Justin who like brought it to my attention. He's like, you're not like okay. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm not okay? Like, that was like my first reaction. I was so pissed. I was
like, doing great.
You tell me that like I'm not okay. And then like I really like felt it to be true though. And so that's when I started like going in and like actually like asking myself how I was feeling. I've never done that in my life ever. I just thought, be wow. happy, be happy, be happy, be happy. So just
how like, did you do it? Did you just talk to yourself? Did you journal?
Yeah, I did both. I talked to myself, like just really like put some deep thought into things and journaled too. Like actual like questions like, yeah, how am I feeling? Like why am I feeling this? And like kind of trying to like trace back.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to fix my feelings. And I think like fixing them, like it was just being aware of them and not pushing them away, like accepting, okay, I can be sad. I can cry. Like I always was like so ashamed to like cry and like feel down. Like I just thought it was like I was being like lazy totally. So just like allowing myself to like be there or whatever emotion it was, that was like really, it's like strengthens you.
Absolutely. And that must have been, that's first of all, it's really courageous of you. Like this is incredible and huge. And the impact of this on yourself and your life and others is going to echo for generations, actually. Like, I don't know if we ever stop and actually realize that, because part of what we're here to do is to evolve ourselves, whether we have children or not. It impacts people. It impacts the future.
Totally.
And so being real with ourselves and doing the work that I believe is the most important work in the world is completely transformational. So that must have been very difficult, though, to just stop and actually, like, I think of it, I use the analogy, like looking in the mirror, you know, for the first time. Mm-hmm. And we do it at many times throughout our lives, but that must have been very difficult. How did you get your mind to silence enough to be able to even find any answers? Because most people, like, were so distracted, like back to social media, the phone, it's constantly going off. Like, did you carve out personal time? Did you get away? Did you get, you know, how did you start that? Because so many people are in that position.
Well, I think it happened at a time where it actually probably happened at the perfect time, because it was during like right during quarantine. So like everything was slowing down anyways. So I wasn't really super busy. So I had like all this time to like spend with myself, which like really sucked because like it was like really, really hard. But yeah, I had all this time because of quarantine. And also like I knew, like just having that conversation with Justin, like he's my soulmate. He's like my heart. So like any like the fear of like that not like not being with the person that I like with my whole being feel like I'm meant to be with, like I was like, I have to do this. Wow. It was like became like immediate top priority for me.
Wow.
Like whatever I gotta do, like, you know, look at my flaws, look at my fears.
Yeah.
Look at how like authentic am I being in like my regular life too.
Wow. So courageous. Is there anything that stood out, you know, as you started this journey as like a big insight, like a big thing that you were, or even a small insight of you, like, I'm so glad I realized this about myself or changed this about myself or acknowledge this about myself. I mean, one for sure that I hear is like just acknowledging how I feel.
Yeah,
like totally. That's a huge step. Like I do have emotions other than happy. But did anything else kind of stand out?
Yeah, I think something that actually really like helped me, I started doing this like one-on-one class with my friend Barbara, and she is like an instructor for this class. I guess it's a class. It's called S Factor. And it's like about like bringing your like femininity to life and like just embracing like your core, like so like your masculine core, like my feminine core. And that helped a ton, just like working with her, like using movements, like feminine movements to like really like get in touch with like yourself. And like feeling that instead of just, there's something with moving.
Absolutely.
Like connects you to yourself. And I think that like really helped connect me to myself and accept myself and like further beyond accept myself, like love myself.
Wow.
Even the things that I would never love before. It's just like loving like every part of yourself because you are like perfect and like you are the way you are for a reason. It's like a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And movement, that movement piece you're mentioning is so important because, it's one thing for it to just be an idea like, okay, cool. I'm going to step into my feminine core nature. But it's different to actually experience it. It's a kinesthetic thing. It's a feeling thing. It's an experiential thing. And when you experience it, I think it's like, oh, this feels good. This feels right.
Yeah.
This feels more aligned, as someone might say. Had you been spending time in the opposite, in a masculine state?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that achievement, get it done, build the business, be the boss bitch, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And then you kind of like lose yourself when you're like in that other like place. So it's like really important to balance it.
Because we are both.
Right.
That doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong.
Right.
It's a kind of fluid spectrum of where you spend your time. Mm-hmm. But are you saying you were kind of spending too much time maybe in that other?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so far, like even back, like the emotional thing, like I feel like that's more of a masculine thing is to like not, you know, be in touch with your emotions, just pushing away. It's not okay to feel like that. It's lazy. Like, you know, be more productive. Yeah. So yeah, everything.
Yeah, it actually ties into everything. Yeah, it's like the self-talk that we are, that we have. Like my self-talk is, I don't have time for this.
Right, exactly.
Like I got shit to do.
Yeah.
So-and-so made me upset. I don't feel good today. Whatever it might be. It's an internal thing. It's an external thing. Fucking COVID, economy, my own past. And then you want to sit there and think and feel, but you don't know how. Uh-huh. And it's, I think it's more common than we realize for men and women. Mm-hmm. It's extremely common. And it's because, unfortunately, there are a lot of things that we're just not taught in life. This is one of them. I mean, can you imagine as a parent trying to teach that to your kids? Like, I hope we do a better job. But it's not like a responsibility to like know how to teach, you know, self-development, psychology, and processing of emotions. Like, it's just hard work that each person eventually, and it seems to kind of strike around the age of 30, like in your 30s, like your 20s are like basically for most people, like just a dream.
Right.
And you're just like kind of in your bliss bubble. Mm-hmm. And then reality starts to hit. You commit to somebody or something. Mm-hmm. You grow up a little bit and your past kind of starts to just bite you in the ass. My therapist, I need to do an episode on therapy because I was also related to this point. I was like, therapy? What are you talking about? I don't need that. I don't have time for it. I'm busy. I'm successful. I'm actually happy. That's for people who are happy. And I'm saying that with full empathy now of like, that's absolutely not true. Mm-hmm. You can be happy or unhappy. And first of all, that's a stupid word anyway. It's like just such a binary. It doesn't work like that. But I need to do an episode on that. But like the concepts of even opening myself up to that, my therapist said something. She's a Jungian, so Carl Jung, that type of Jungian analyst, and the focus of that is kind of different from other types of therapy. But you know, she talked about it's like a snake that with like where the tail sort of comes back from your past and bites you. Until we process our past fully, a lot of times it rules our life. Mm-hmm. Like we have work to do individually so that we don't projected onto others. Yeah. That's the hardest part. And that's probably why for you, what I'm hearing is like, it became priority. It's like, well, hey, this does impact my relationship. It impacts everything. It impacts my whole life. So like, this is priority. This is the most important thing. I have to work on this.
Yeah.
Do you see it as you said the word fix, and I'm curious how you feel about that. Do you see it as something that this is, just certain work that I need to do right now, and I'm going to prioritize it right now? Or do you think that this might be like a longer term journey that we all go through for a while. Like, how does this work in your mind?
I think like, in the moment, like I just wanted to fix it, like basically stop it. So fix meaning just like stop
and the
like,
suffering.
Yeah. But it's definitely like going to be my lifelong like lesson that I have to like continually, I don't know if I'll ever like fully like figure it out. Like I who knows, maybe I'll be 90 years old and be like, oh, I got it. But like, I think it'll be a lifelong like lesson that I have to relearn and try to improve. I mean, take 10 steps back, one step forward, and just like kind of being okay with that.
I think you're dead on. Back to my therapist, she basically said, she's like, most people will never make everything conscious. Like that is their complexes and their past and all that stuff. Like that's the lifelong journey. And I was like, I don't think you're right. I think I'm going to like solve this in like 3 years, be done with it. We'll close the chapter. You'll give me a report and we'll be like, good stuff, Armand. But I'm starting to think she's actually right. And I think you're right too. Thank you for sharing all that. I really appreciate it. It's going to be life-changing for a lot of people. And it's helping me actually as well.
Cool.
So you started this company many years back that feels like, you know, hey, I'm living my dream. Just what was the problem you were looking to solve initially? Like, was this just one of those, you know, entrepreneurial itches of like, I need this, so I'm going to create it? Or was it like, no, I see this like thing in the marketplace. I this is definitely what I need to do. Talk to me about like why you decided on that business.
That specific business?
Mm-hmm. Frenchie.
Yeah. So the original idea, well, I've always been obsessed with fashion, like obsessed, like even when I was like so broke and had no money, like I would spend money on like magazines. Mm-hmm. I've always done that. Just loved fashion. And my sister, I had gone through like a pretty rough breakup, and it was like that point in my life where I was like, what am I doing? I've always like supported other people in their dreams and like never really like looked inside, again with the thing about never asking yourself like, how am I feeling? I never asked myself what I want. So I was like, what do I want? Like, if I could do anything. And I've always wanted to design fashion. I didn't know it would be dog stuff, but that's when I met my sister's baby Frenchie. She came home for Christmas one year, and I was like instantly like fell in love with this dog. I was going through like such a hard time. The dog like brought so much like happiness to me and like made me feel good when I was like really sad. And they're just like hilarious, like funny dogs too. And at the time, there was no harnesses that fit them and no options. You either got like a polka dot harness or like a pink harness. Those were like your options. And none of them fit right. They were all like super generic. Like there was no thought or like effort put into like these dog, anything for dogs. They were just like basic. Everyone used the same patterns, et cetera. And so there's definitely a space in the marketplace for that. It was my sister who had the dog. She was like, there's no harnesses that fit her. Like, you should do that. You should make a harness that like fits them. So it's like, good idea. Okay, I'm going to do that. So I took her idea and I ran with it. I created a reversible harness. So it's the first ever reversible harness. You get two prints in one. And I used my like obsession with fashion to like create like trendy prints, and every season we come out with new prints, and it's like, it's a whole thing.
Wow. That's so cool. That's badass.
Thank you.
What do you think really created the initial success? I mean, obviously you filled a gap in the market where there wasn't something that fit Frenchies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So obviously just people even hearing that, learning that, becoming educated about that probably helped move things along. But was there, like, when did you know you really had something that was going to work?
I knew it in my gut. Like, I just like had this feeling that like I had to do this. And like, I was actually like kind of toying between that idea, the Frenchie idea, or like starting a swimwear brand. And like, I wanted to do human fashion, so I actually like started the swimwear thing.
I love how you
first.
Have to clarify human fashion.
Right, human fashion.
I mean, dog fashion, but human fashion.
Exactly. Oh, so like, yeah, I was like doing this like kind of like toying with a swimwear idea too, but like it kept bugging me that I wasn't doing the Frenchy idea. Oh. Like I just knew it was like a good idea. And I don't know if you've done like your human design, mm-hmm. but I'm a manifester. So like those like gut, like urge feelings, mm-hmm. like it was a gut feeling that I just like knew.
Yes.
So that was, I think that was when I knew like it was like a really good idea. But also like so many things just like worked out for this, right? Mm. Like it ended up, this breed ended up being like the most popular breed of dogs.
Yeah.
And like, not only that, but like the people that had these dogs all had Instagram accounts for their dogs.
They all have money.
They all have money. It's an expensive dog. Like, and they all have this attitude where like they're so obsessed with their dogs. Yeah. I remember at the beginning, like on Instagram, there would always be this like thing going around. It was like the people would be like upset if people on the street would be like, oh, what a cute like pug or Boston Terrier. And they would get so mad and they'd be like, really? It's a Frenchie. It's a French bulldog. So like these like crazy people, which like I totally am one of those too. I don't care if people think Leo's a different breed, but like like someone that's like really crazy about their dog, that's like my customer.
Wow. Yeah. There's so many things that work well for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just look at the business opportunity there. It's like, so you briefly alluded to one part of it. It's like they all have an Instagram. So what does that mean? That means free marketing.
Totally.
Like no other dog gets that level of exposure consistently within one breed.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the closest thing is like the doodles, you know, Labradoodles, Golden Doodles. But even that, like, there's not that many of them. There's not as many of them all. There's way more Frenchies. And the customer has money. They love fashion. They're you, basically.
Yeah.
Whether male or female. Mm-hmm. And they love putting their dog out there. And maybe they usually have like a doggy page, too, or something like that. Yep. So it's just like that free marketing aspect of it is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. And then you have something that finally fits them and works for them and it ties in the fashion. It's amazing what you said about your gut as well. And I love that answer because I know it's the truth in the sense that some of the best entrepreneurs always tell me that. I have a client right now. She has a beauty brand. And I just asked her the same thing, you know, kind of in a private conversation. I was like, how did you know? Like, this was going to blow up and be so big. She was like, I just had to do it. I knew. Like, that's it. Like, yeah. I just, like, you just know.
At you if you don't do it.
But there you go. And I think that is beyond the five senses. That is something that we just truly can't explain. That gut aspect of how we make decisions is something that for humanity is very new, that people and leaders and entrepreneurs are just now starting to give the proper level of respect to. But if you're lucky and you naturally already behave that way, because like you are that type on human design, or that's your personality type, then you kind of are living in that state of flow where you do follow your gut more frequently than most people. Mm-hmm. Some people just overanalyze the fuck out of everything and it has to work in the spreadsheet before they move forward, mm-hmm. which I understand because I understand personality types, but that also sounds exhausting, you know?
It's like such a waste of time. I didn't do any spreadsheets, no business plan, like nothing.
No business plan is the way to go. Yeah. I really think so because you test it, you see what the market says and wants, and then you adapt. So what were the main drivers initially? Was it social media? Was it advertising? Was it word of mouth? What really did you push in the beginning? And what really is also working right now? Like what really continues to help the brand?
At the beginning, I basically like sent out, probably half of the inventory that I had for free.
Wow.
So direct message people and based on like their quality of photos and like their follower count, I would send them, you know, ask if I could send them free product, if they could like help promote on their page. And, everyone did it. And then I still have like some of those like original, like, we call them friend cheese, but it's like our influencer team. So like those people have still been with us, which is really cool. So yeah, it was a lot of direct messaging. I used a long time ago, there was this like website that you could like people's photos, one page on the website would be like, you could search by hashtag or like accounts or something, and you could like a bunch of them just by clicking instead of scrolling and clicking. So I would do that because it was quicker. Mm-hmm. And then I would comment on, I would search the hashtag and comment on
it. Did they take that away?
Yeah, the website's no longer.
Yeah, and there's no other tools that do that anymore.
I
don't think so.
Yeah.
Glory days.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I remember that. You could comment on the page, on a post.
Yeah.
Then the person, you know, one out of five of them is like, who the hell is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they look, oh, wow. I mean, you can still do it manually.
Right, yeah.
People definitely do still. Mm-hmm. But that was a good strategy for its time.
Yeah, totally.
For sure.
Yeah.
So Instagram. Mm-hmm.
That's
this
it.
This is how you grew the business.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
For free.
Wow.
Yeah.
No ads.
No
ads. You run ads now?
Now we run ads, but like ads are pretty new to us. We've done them like the past couple of years, but we didn't really know what we were doing. Mm-hmm. So, and we weren't like spending that much. We're really like, yeah, knew what we were doing. So we just started working with someone that's really good. And
oh, awesome. As a female entrepreneur, what's it like? And why do you think that there's so many obstacles to entry for other female entrepreneurs? Because you must get that message all the time of like, you inspire me. I wish I had my own brand. I wish I had my own company. I would love to start my own business. I would love to. I would love to. I would love to. What's the block? And how do we create an environment or a space for more equal opportunity?
It's a good question. I guess like the question like you would ask yourself is like, why not? Like that's what, like the question I asked myself, like when I was deciding like if I should do this, and I just like, why not? Like, what is the risk of like trying something?
Yeah. Like what would you say to, you know, one of your best friends who's just like you and has a similar idea? Is that how you'd respond to her?
I would say do it. 100%. Like, even if you, like, if you really believe in it and like you're passionate, excited about it, I would say just do it, because you're like, it would be worse if you regretted it, not doing it. That's like the worst is regret. So like, just do it. And either way, if it succeeds, like great. If not, you'll learn something and probably the next thing you do will succeed.
But Bridget, I'm afraid of like getting embarrassed. You know, that's what someone might say. Like, what if I fail? It's embarrassing. People know, and my parents judge me, and my friends judge me. That's such a common obstacle, isn't it?
It is.
For so many people. Did you feel that at all? Like, what if I fail?
No, I didn't.
Like, whoops, was I supposed to feel that?
I wasn't. I guess I just like, I like wouldn't even like allow myself to. I was like,
yeah.
You're not allowed to fail. So like you won't, because like you just won't. Like all, like my inner ego or whatever was like, there's no way I'm going to allow you to fail. So like, it's just not an option.
Yeah. No, that's what it takes. That's actually what it takes. And I mean, and even for those that feel that way, like it's okay to feel that way and just be like, I don't need that thought.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. I'm just going to put that aside. Like, everyone has fears. Mm-hmm. I'm sure your fears were different. My fears were different. It's like, we all have some kind of concern. What if I go broke? What if this happens? What if I get embarrassed? But like, I think the best entrepreneurs don't allow that into their mind. Mm-hmm. It's like, burn the boats.
Yeah.
No plan B.
Right. Exactly. There was no
I wrote plan a post B. for that. When I first left Google, I wrote a whole thing. Like why I'm burning my bridges and why I believe in no plan B. And that article, I still think to this day, is like one of my most read articles online. It's really old now and it's written by like a first year entrepreneur. So it's not the same guy I am today, but it's actually interesting to read it. And I'll include it in the show notes for people, because it's like, okay, do you want to see how a first year entrepreneur should probably be thinking? This is what I believe. This is how I believe people should approach it. Because again, it's all about personality. We all have a different disposition. Some of us need that plan B and C and D, but I don't think it helps because your mind starts to go to that as a possibility and you start to create that reality. Mm-hmm. Focus is key. What are you focused on? And in your case, you were like, yeah, I believe in this. I want to do it. I don't want to regret because regret sucks.
Yeah,
I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah.
And it can be that simple. Mm-hmm. It really can. So is it maybe mindset that needs to adapt in order to allow, in order to like, is there something that we or somebody can be doing to share that like, A, regret is fucking painful. Like, don't let that happen to you. And B, like, here's what you need to do to shift your mindset. Maybe, maybe that would actually enable more female entrepreneurs to take the risk.
Totally. Yeah. Like, it's okay. Like, yeah, it's more of a mindset thing. Like, even if you do fail or even if you are embarrassed, like being like, okay. And like owning it, you know? And like, also it, like the way I think about things now, and like, I've been telling my brother, cause he wants to do his own thing too. Like, and you know, if like something, you know, he's scared of like, yeah, losing all this money or like not working or something. And I'm like, it's part of your story. Like what makes the story like interesting is like all the shitty things. And then like you like rising above. Mm. So like let the shitty things happen and then rise.
Wow. It is part of the story. Mm-hmm. It can be part of the story of the brand. It's part of the story of your life.
Yeah.
It's all about how you look at it. Right. I'm very similar to you. I've never had that feeling of like, oh, I'm going to be embarrassed if I fail or whatever. Because I think that if you're playing the long game and you really believe in you and what you're doing, I think it's about cultivating that type of confidence, that real, true inner confidence that can allow somebody to push through. And again, like you, I'm curious if you agree, but like, I don't think entrepreneurship's for everybody. Like not every man or woman should be an entrepreneur. Like
right.
It's a wild ride. Mm-hmm. But for those that really know in their gut, deep within their bones that they should, they should probably give it a crack.
I totally agree. And like, yeah, what do you have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah, you really don't. I think that the challenge is, or rather the opportunity just to explore this a bit is, as the future really starts to shift toward more creative work, okay? So like a concern that constantly comes up is technology. It's going to displace us. It's going to take our jobs away. All the accountants will be replaced. All the truck drivers will be replaced. What are we going to do? Well, of course, what we're going to do is more creative work, work that automation and robots and technology can't do. And so the question comes, why not begin to shift today toward the more creative work? If you're, in other words, what I'm really saying to people and what I really think about a lot is, if you're concerned about your career, if you're concerned that you picked the right or the wrong industry, well, what you can do instead is think about the long term, consider it, realize that the direction that it's inevitably moving, shout out to the book, The Inevitable, I believe that's the title, by Kevin Kelly. It's inevitable something. And talking about this displacement that's coming. So we have to move towards more creative work. So what does that mean? It could mean sculpting, any form of artistry. It could mean design and fashion. It could mean that maybe that becomes an e-commerce business. It could mean a service of some kind that you provide that you want to develop mastery in. But sitting and going to work and thinking that that's what's going to make you fulfilled in the long run, and that you have any form of real safety is false. Completely false.
Right, completely.
You've probably been through times where, I mean, there was challenges in the business, like or has it always been like pretty consistent up kind of swing
with the business? Like as far as like growing, it's been pretty good. Like we haven't had like really crazy growth spurts. Like those like happened when we like added really huge things to the business, But yeah, as far as like sales, they've been consistently growing. Yeah. But then there's been like a lot of like other brands like copying our stuff, like knockoffs, like that was like huge.
Yeah.
It still happens.
So if you were approaching from scratch, building, community, social media pages, like there's 1,000 strategies out there. There's DMing people, there's liking things, there's making videos, there's TikToks, there's like now Instagram is basically becoming TikTok. Mm-hmm. All the features are like piling in now, I'm sure you noticed. So what would you do if you were starting from scratch? Like what's the focus to like build an engaged community right now to launch a business?
I still think that like reaching out and like being involved in other people's like stories and like what they post on social media is really important because it's like it shows that you care and you're interested in them. And so I think that is really important to grow, like growing a community. And instead of just like really like liking the post, but kind of like getting to know your community, you know, like getting to know what they're going through, like what they, their struggles are, like what brings them happiness, all of that kind of stuff. I think that's like, that's number one. Yeah.
Would that look like, you know, one, I think I read somewhere one time, it's like, it's ridiculous to not respond to people, especially if they reach out to you because it's like, that's a customer, that's a new friend, that's a whoever. And so it's like, I think what I'm hearing is like, acknowledge them and join their conversation, join their world. Don't just wait for them to come to you.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to go to them first, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe it's like, yeah, going to other pages that are in a similar market and like engaging with them and kind of stealing ethically their customers, right? But the dog world is crazy. I think you picked like such a great industry because people don't really hesitate to spend the money, huh? Like it's, they're like, yeah, my dog needs it. We have like 19 different harnesses and we have some of your harnesses. Yes. Thank you so much for those. Mushy loves those. And they're the best, by the way. Anybody listening, if you have a Frenchie or not, like our dog is not a Frenchie. And those harnesses, the leashes, everything you have, the bandanas, all that stuff, it's all amazing. It's fashion. It's fashion for dogs.
Totally.
And it's really high quality. That's actually something I was wondering about. What is your process for designing? Like, how do you do the design part? How do you come up with the ideas? Do you draw them? Do you lay them out on a program? Like, how does that work?
So I usually like, I kind of use Instagram as like almost like trend forecasting. So like I'll see something that like, I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then maybe I'll see it a second time. And then again, it's like the gut feeling like, okay, like this is a trend. Sometimes it happens like before, way before its time, which this has happened a lot. And then like the product won't sell as well when like I was just too early on the trend. But if I can time it right, then I put all these ideas together, like write them down, and then I make an Illustrator file. Each page will have like the title of the print and then both sides, and I'll either hand draw stuff or I'll find pictures either in real life or just like on the internet of similar like feel that I want. And then I'll like make notes like, okay, I want everything outlined in black, or I want more of like a softer artistic type of like art versus like more like cartoony looking. So yeah, all the very specific crazy notes. And then I meet with our designer and he turns those into like a repeatable pattern. And then I go back in and change the colors and like choose Pantones for everything. And sometimes we have to rearrange things, but yeah, that's the process.
And then that goes to your manufacturer, which is where?
China.
Do you know where? Mine just moved. Guangzhou. So it goes to China.
Yeah,
China. Goes to the factory. And I'm sure
the name of the
city.
They're so hard to remember.
And basically the turnaround at this point is probably pretty quick for them to get you a prototype, right? Because they already are making leashes and things like that for you.
Yeah, sometimes we get samples, but sometimes we don't, like depending on how we're usually like running behind. So if we do get samples, it's great. And then I can take the photos and stuff. But I do always get, I don't know what people call them.
Like a swatch?
Yeah, like a swatch.
Sample. The sample of the sample?
Exactly. So like I can look at the color and be like, this is like the correct color, or like, you guys, we need to redo this color pink. It's not right. Like stuff like that. And then if I don't get a sample, then I will get some, like one of each thing, like rush shipped to me, so I can at least start shooting everything before we launch. Because once we get products, we want to launch like right away.
Right. How many SKUs are you at this point? Like how many products? It's a lot.
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to. But yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, you have a lot of colors, a lot of varieties. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure some go in stock, out of stock, seasonal stuff. It's a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you, I mean, like one of the challenges that I've had working with the manufacturer is just working with the manufacturer. Like it's really hard to communicate and things like that. So one of the things I always recommend to people, especially anybody listening, is like they want to start an e-commerce company, they want to start a product, is like there are sourcing partners. I'm not sure if you have somebody who deals with them for you, but for Project Evo, that helps us so much because we don't have to speak directly to the factory. There's somebody who does this for a living, who has multiple clients just like us, and they have somebody who can speak the language, deal directly with them within the culture, within the, you know, norms and the values of what is acceptable. It's kind of like having a book agent, you know, like when you think of that concept, or like a music agent. You're an artist and you have an agent of any kind. It's like they do the deal for you. They close the deal for you. They handle it for you. You're like, I need this color. They communicate it. So it does cost, you know, average probably in the marketplace is like, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10%. On top of your cost of the product. But I think it's good. I think it's good because it's like, unless you are an expert in that yourself, it can be hard. It sounds like you have a good thing, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people have a challenge with that. Has it been pretty good so far, like throughout the years?
Yeah, we've had the same like factory. So in, and the person that manages like our stuff is like, he's great. He's like, I mean, it does take a little bit sometimes to explain things, but he pretty much gets like what we want. I mean, he does try to push other things, but for the most part, it's been working great. Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of people think about what countries to manufacture in and things like that. You know, we also have a manufacturer now in Indianapolis, in the US. I really, when COVID started happening and when Trump added 25% to our tariffs and customs and duties, all these things combined, I mean, it really hurt our margin. And the idea, obviously, from a political perspective is, okay, I'll make it really painful for people to manufacture overseas. They'll bring it to the US. And that's true to a certain degree, or they'll take it to another country. And that's true to a certain degree, but that process was so hard. We've had like three factories so far, plus the US one, so four. And that process of starting over the relationship each time is brutal. And that's why I definitely recommend people have like some sort of sourcing manager, partner. You can Google it. It's really, really easy. Now you have a new thing you're working on. A podcast.
Yeah. Thanks to you.
Yes. Yes.
You inspired me and like made me feel like, okay, I can do this.
What's it called?
It's called The Bridge to the Dream.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's even better than what we talked about before. That's so good. Oh my God. So what is this for you? Is this a creative outlet? Is this another one of those gut things that you just know you got to be doing? How would you explain that?
I think it's like kind of both, like a creative outlet. And like, I mean, I hope it like goes somewhere too. That would be really cool, but mostly to like inspire other people and motivate other people and like have a place where people can learn. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I just like ask myself like why I listen to podcasts, and that's to either like be inspired or to learn something really. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that will be.
That's maybe cool. A little entertainment thrown in.
Yeah. Totally. You got to get a little.
Yeah. That's exactly why we listen to podcasts, and some of the best ones are that way. And I think that a person who, yeah, like you, who wants to do it, really, it does come from that gut place again of like, I think of it the same way I think of like writing a book. Like a lot of people are just like, ooh, that sounds cool. I want to be an author, but like, do you really want to go through the trouble? Like, right. 'Cause it's hard. And so is a podcast. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to do it and get set up. It's hard to be consistent with it. Yeah. And it comes in up and down and up and down. You're going to be it'll be somewhere around like episode number 48, 49, 50 or something. And oh that's my God. Already. Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Already, yeah. But what's crazy is like, it goes through periods where I was 3 months ahead mm-hmm. and I was just crushing interviews.
Yeah.
To, yeah, sometimes like you get caught up and other things come up and, you know, mm-hmm. so you have to balance it and you recreate it. You recreate it as you go. Like I was only doing interviews, you know, only doing these kind, they're more conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
I started doing like solo episodes now. Cool. And, you know, things like that. So, and people are really liking those. They're shorter. They're not like an hour and a half, you know, listen in 15 minutes.
And those are just like with the solo, like whatever you feel like talking about, or do you usually write stuff down?
That's a good question. The way I think about it for my podcast is I'm documenting my journey.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like, yes, it is whatever is current. Mm-hmm. So that's why I said, like, I think talking about the taboo of therapy mm-hmm. is going to be one. The one I just dropped was on reading and the benefits of reading and books. Why I think books are the most incredible thing in the world.
Cool.
Because I've been thinking about it. Mm-hmm. To me, it's like a way of just processing out loud what I've been thinking about. But so are these conversations.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's like we get to just like what's been on the mind lately.
Yeah.
Where do you see, do you have a certain style you're thinking about for your podcast in terms of, you know, I know we've talked about this a lot, but I'm curious if there's any updates on it. Like, is it just going to be conversations? Will you do any solo episodes? What are you thinking?
Actually, like I did a solo episode last weekend. Mm-hmm. Because the person I was supposed to do a podcast with forgot. And so I just like randomly did a solo, yeah. which I might delete it because I don't really know where it was going. Mm-hmm. But it's funny. I actually talked about a lot of the stuff that we talked about today.
Like, wow. That's powerful.
Yeah.
I don't think you should delete that.
Okay.
That's powerful. Will this be connected to the business in any way? Like, will you kind of cross promote between the two, or are you just kind of trying to put it all the way into the Bridget personal brand?
No, I think I would love to cross promote. I'm like, why not? Like, yeah. Have more like eyes on Frenchie too. And I think like it's another like outlet for me to share like maybe other ventures that I decide to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%. I mean, from my experience, the brands that continue to grow and succeed are the ones where people like really know the founder and
really?
They really like love the story. Yes, we need to love the product, but we're human beings. We like people. Mm-hmm. And if we like the person behind the brand, even if it has nothing to do with Frenchies, we become loyal, more loyal. You know?
Yeah.
And so I think the best brands out there also have a founder who has a personal brand who's sharing their complete life. So I believe wholeheartedly that like it's only going to help your business. Okay. Even if you're like, this has nothing to do with the pet industry, nothing to do with fashion, nothing mm-hmm. to do with anything even related to this. It's about mental health this week or my relationship or whatever.
Yeah.
People just... Yeah, I'd be curious what people say who are listening. Like, I mean, I think they should write in and let us know. But like, in my experience as a consultant to some of the biggest businesses, every time I come in and I'm like, you're missing from the brand. Like I'm doing that with one of my clients right now. I'm like, where are you? More. I want more of you.
So what would you tell people to like do if they're missing that part? What's your like?
I mean, most people are missing a proper about page. Like, what's the story?
I'm putting my hand up.
Yeah.
Our about should page have seen is the face so you bad. Made.
Oh, God. So the about page of a website is the number one most clicked, trafficked page on 95% of websites.
Oh, no.
So it's either missing completely, which is like a tragedy, or it's bad and short. Mm-hmm. People want the story. Why did you start this? What's the vision? What's mm-hmm. the mission? Who are you? Why you?
Yeah.
And what are you like? Because they want to feel that your story and their story somehow collide and it resonates with them. And all you have to do, it doesn't have to be anything other than the person's true story. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. Like if you go to the Project Evo site, projectevo.org, mm-hmm. our about page, I hear all the time, you guys have the most epic, and it's so outdated at this point, and most of it's like it needs to be updated, but it's like, you guys have the most epic like mission, and that's why we love the brand. That's why we love you wow. and your co-founder. You know, yeah. Or my personal site, like anybody listening, go read my about page, armanasadi.com. Mm-hmm. It's real shit. It's like, this is my story. This is what I've been through. I highly recommend you do that for the business.
Yeah.
And then it just, yeah, cross promotes. You can link to the podcast. And it's like, if you want to learn more about me and my journey, check out my podcast. And I think it's one of those investments that just builds.
Okay.
You know, over time. But I'm so glad that you did this podcast.
Yeah, me too.
A lot of people have asked me for help and most of them don't follow through.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to follow through. I'm really excited about it. I think like I've had a little trouble with like the first like scheduling like mm-hmm. people like it, like there's been like three people that kind of like fell through.
Everybody does. Yeah.
So I was kind of like, oh, it's kind of a bummer, but maybe I just need to like cast a wider net and then like,
yeah. Yeah. I started with all the friends that are like, yeah. kind of like, you kind of know what to expect, right? You know, mm-hmm. just like that initial, keep it simple. People that are in the network, but yeah, then you start casting that wider net. But mm-hmm. that's very common in that world of podcasting. But who would you say then in that world of, you know, with the podcast, is it similar? Is it just a gut thing in your opinion too? It's like to know that you should or you shouldn't, you know, go that path of writing the book or doing the podcast. Does it come down to that similar kind of reaction?
I feel like not really at the beginning. I think at the beginning, like it was more like, you know, Justin always said, you should do this, you should do this. And I was kind of like, yeah, like maybe. Like I actually, like it's funny because I've tried to make a podcast multiple times. I think I've told you this, but the amount of times I've bought equipment and like sat down to try to figure out like, where does it record and like, how do I, like, where is this going? And so like you really helped me with that. Like you helped me set it up and like the like yeah. oh my God, like I can't even thank you enough for that. That was like amazing.
Just so you know, there's a guy, Pat Flynn. I don't know if you heard of Pat Flynn. He's actually in San Diego, one of the biggest podcasts in the world.
Okay.
And that guy recorded his first episode like 100 times and it took him over a year to launch his podcast. Like once he had the equipment, he would just sit with it, re-record. He was like, oh, my voice sucks and I don't know what I'm doing and I'm shy. One of the biggest podcasts in the world. And he even has a course on podcasting now.
Wow. Oh my God.
Like how to start your podcast is one of the most popular guides on the internet. I'll link to it for people. It's very helpful. A lot of what I gave you, I kind of extracted from that. So yeah.
I feel like you could
have We all go through this. We all go through this.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a guy named Justin.
Yeah.
Who's Justin?
Justin's my guy. Justin's my husband.
Justin's been on the podcast. Justin Levine. Justin, what episode were you? I'll link to it for people. It was an incredible, incredible episode.
Good.
Yeah. Did you learn anything new about him?
No, but like, I feel like he just has like so much knowledge and he like has these like really good nuggets. Like I feel like in a podcast, like you're waiting for these like golden nuggets and like he has a lot of those, I feel like.
He does and it comes out very natural.
So like in normal day life, he's like saying these things. And I was like, wait, can I like write that down?
Justin's episode is up there as I think one of people's favorites. It's continually people come back to that one. Even Erica is like, Justin's episode is my favorite. And I said, I quiz people. I'm like, well, why? What makes it different? What makes a good episode? I think A, this in-person experience probably makes a big difference for people. So that means your episode is probably going to be the best, the new best now.
Yes.
And B, I think it's that ease that certain people have. And again, you have that. It's like there's a comfort in your own skin with whoever you are and whatever you are. And it's just natural. It's not forced. And right. I think with Justin, it was just like, I'm living life, man.
Yeah.
This is it. This is the journey. Here's what I know. Here's what I don't know.
Yeah. He's so honest too. Like he's really honest and just like authentic. He's best.
Yes. Have there been any lessons learned this year in terms of relationship? I would like to kind of just like close out there because I know relationship is something that's always on the mind of so many people, whether they're single, married, engaged, whatever it is. Relationships are hard. Mm-hmm. We have to acknowledge that. It's two people coming together with very different viewpoints, very different lives, and very different personalities attempting to create a life together. What helps you create a good relationship?
The like something that I learned just recently when I was going through like really hard time about relationships is that, I mean, this is something that everyone says, but like, you got to have a good relationship with yourself, but like going beyond that, like you can't have a good relationship with other people if you don't have a good one with yourself, because you're constantly like with me, like I would constantly judge myself and, you know, put myself down and just not like really love myself and or trust myself. I was constantly like reaching out for like other people's like, is this okay? What should I be doing? Like not listening to myself. And it's just like such a, it's a quality that's like, honestly, it's just not attractive. Like if you think about, would you be with someone who is constantly like unsure of themselves and just like, yeah, just really unsure of themselves? Like it's just not something that like you would want to like have a relationship or like a lifetime partner who's like constantly unsure, doesn't trust themselves, doesn't love themselves. So really like figuring out, how do I love myself? How do I trust myself? And like, how do I like listen to myself and then be strong enough to like go with that? And even if it's like something that you think society or your partner would think is like unattractive, like being sad, like, or being, you know, saying something that is like on my mind that I think like, oh, I shouldn't say this because this is being naggy or, and now I'm realizing like, and Justin's great because he always like, is like, I want you to be like, to tell me things. I don't want you to be scared. And
well, Justin's an exceptional communicator.
He's just, right? He really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we're very alike in that way of like, we like to talk.
Yeah.
We like to talk things through. Yeah.
I'm so glad that I'm with someone like that, because it could, you know, you could be with someone who just doesn't say anything.
Yes.
And then
it's a lot of men.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And then maybe one day it's like over because like you didn't get, like you didn't hear what you probably needed to hear, which is the truth.
Yep. Wow. That's huge. Why do you think that is that some of us, by the way, same thing, I've been through it. Why do you think that is that we don't do what's best for us? Like, why are we so hesitant to like just make decisions that are good for us? And instead, we're constantly thinking about other people. Like, it sounds like what you're telling me is, I'm hearing, I'm working on empowering myself. Mm-hmm. And what do I actually think about this? What do I actually feel about this? Instead of like, what do others think? What do others feel? I can tell you for me, it was a codependent relationship with my mom, mm-hmm. where like my job is to make her happy, you know? So like, I never learned what I need. Like, I had one job. Be this perfect model. That's impossible. It's hard to figure out all the time, like what that might mean. And again, it's like parents do their best. She was doing her best. It wasn't like intentional or anything, but it's just, it is what it is. And so as I grew up, I was like, I have no idea what I want or think. But that also, it's a little confusing because I also really know what I want in life, you know, and I think you do too. You're like, I know what I want in life. I know what I want to achieve. But it's like the little things. It's like, what do I want right now?
Yeah.
Do I need a nap? Do I?
Exactly.
It is that, isn't it?
Yes.
I felt it when you
explained. Yeah.
Like prioritizing the self and the self-care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like, there's a block.
Totally.
For a lot of us.
Yeah. Or like you feel like you don't
do you know
need
where
self-care.
It comes from for you? Or do you know? I mean, you're obviously working on it and changing it, but have you had any insight?
Mine comes from just like wanting to be liked.
Mm.
So if I feel like, you know, that could be so strong sometimes that, or wanting to be liked or wanting other people to feel good. So it's like, okay, you know better. What do you need me to be? I'll be that.
Wow.
And then it's like, where am I?
Yeah, you're fucked. You're just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we learned from Tony Robbins that the driving force of every human being, what is it? It's either wanting to be enough or wanting to be loved.
Totally.
And you either do things because you want to feel enough and you have to achieve a certain amount or have a certain amount of money, or you do things to be liked and loved by others, because life without others is like depression times 1,000. Totally. So we have this like innate driving force as a human being to like be social creatures that connect and are liked. And so it's like acknowledging that, but then knowing like, okay, yeah, it's good to have these relationships, but there's a way to do it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Where I consider my own needs. And I believe that if I am whole and I am the best I can be, that person's actually going to be happier around me.
Yeah.
I don't need to serve them or do things for them to be happy. I just need to be the best me.
Exactly.
This is the shit we don't learn when we're young.
I know. And it's like the simplest thing. And it's almost seems like backwards, but like, or like weird that it would work, but it works.
Exactly. It's counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Bridget. Yes. This has been so amazing. I can't thank you enough. Any last words to share in general? And is there any way I or the listeners can support you?
Any last words? I don't think I have any last words. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited and very, very honored. Like, you've had amazing people and you have so, so much knowledge. Like,
thank you.
Oh my God. I'm really lucky to be like just sitting here and like having this conversation. But and thank you for helping me start the podcast and motivating me, inspiring me, and like that guide. I feel like you need to sell that.
I might do it.
Because
it
was extremely comprehensive. Someone who's tried to start a podcast 4 different times, and like I started it just after reading your guide like once.
Wow. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
It means a lot.
So you can follow my brand at Frenchie_Bulldog, my personal brand, which hopefully I'll be sharing more sad memories and just mental health stuff at Bridget and Leo. And then my dog has a page, Frenchie Leo. And my website is Frenchie.com.
Awesome. I will link to all of that. And I'll link to the podcast thing I mentioned as well. If you want that and you're listening, please DM me on Instagram or shoot me a text. My phone number's in the notes. And I'll link to everything Bridget just mentioned as well. Thank you, Bridget.
Thank you.
Appreciate you. There it is. Thank you so much for tuning in today. This was an absolutely super fun, phenomenal, wonderful episode to do today. Please let me know your thoughts. Shoot me a text. Slide in my DMs. I would love your feedback. And don't forget to head to armonasadi.com or armon.blog. That'll get you to the same place for show notes, links, access to everything that we mentioned. Make sure to support Bridget and her brands. If you know anyone that has a dog, a Frenchie of any kind, definitely support Frenchie.com and make sure to give her a follow on Instagram. She's a wonderful human being. Make sure to check out her podcast as well that by the time this goes live, should be live. With that said, thanks for tuning in. Much love to you. Peace.